Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of Redheads Book Club October edition. We missed you. It's been a month or two since we did an episode of the Redheads. I've been on maternity leave for a month, but we are back better than ever. Snitch's Choice Month. There's so much to break down with my girlies. Becky, Dana, Snitch, how is everyone?
Hey, what a month it has been. It's so crazy how much has changed since we last gathered.
It's so crazy because we record these episodes once a month. So much really changes in a month betwixt all of us. And this was 2 months. So we have one new baby, one wedded Bex.
Hey.
And it's wild.
And that's it.
Anything of note with the two of you?
Same old Snitch, yeah.
Okay, well, let's start with Bex, because in the time off, you used your time wisely and you got married.
I sure did. I had a wedding, and September 2nd was truly the best day of my entire life. I got married to Evan. I'm a Mrs. Mintz, and we just had an incredible wedding weekend. It was spectacular. It's so crazy that all these life events transpired in between episodes. Mm-hmm. But it's an amazing time. Not planning a wedding has allowed me to really enjoy life again, so that's been really remarkable. And now I'm going on a honeymoon, ladies. So thank you all so much for those redheads who provided amazing book recommendations. I have such a hearty list to take me into my honeymoon. And I'm gone a little over 2 weeks. And I plan on reading so freaking much. I cannot wait. Like, I don't want to look at my phone.
I can't wait to hear how many books you read. And on the next episode, for you to dominate that section of the podcast with other books we read this
week. No, I really need to dominate that section, because, like, I honestly, like, knowing me, like, watch me read 2 books. And, like, that's just not acceptable. I need to dominate next section. So, like, I'm putting that on myself.
Okay, I think that you really are going to, and we're very excited for your honeymoon, but we're excited to have you for the next hour and change to discuss this month's book, which was A Snitch's Choice, which leads me to ask, Snitch, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so freaking excited to talk about this book. Like, because now we have this new thing where, like, the person who chose the book does the summary. You guys, this is the hardest fucking book to summarize because 1,800 things happened. Mm-hmm. And it was 640 pages. But I did my best. I, like, wrote out a script, and I'm just so, so excited to get into this book.
I'm excited too, but before we do, Dana, I have to know, how are you? Wow, I'm rhyming. I'm excited too, but before we do, Dana, I have to know, how are you?
Almost like you wrote a children's book literally, or something. We'll get to that. I'm good. I just got back from Austin, Texas for my sister's bachelorette party, and we honestly talked about Snitch a lot. One of my sister's friend's brothers is marrying Snitch's best friend, yes. Mandy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We did talk about that.
And I saw Ryan on Lake Travis.
Oh, yeah. So random.
So it was just a snitch-filled weekend. You kept coming up left and right in all these different conversations.
I'm just everywhere.
Everything's coming up Snitch.
I think you, like, Jackie's confused. Like, she didn't put together anything that you just said.
No, that's not a Jackie problem. That's, like, no one can put that together.
I've never been more just, like, Why are we talking about Ryan on Lake Travis on this podcast?
No, Ryan is the least of our problems. Mindy? Man. What?
I know that Mandy.
Mandy.
Oh. Mandy.
I was like, who's Mindy?
Oh my God, I'm fucking crying.
Amanda. I was just like, in every conversation I had, it somehow came back to Snitch. So I just thought of her a lot this
weekend. Honestly, maybe I'm just like a center of excellence and like you can just like use me in different ways.
These girls were a little younger, so it was like more your age group.
Yeah. Oh. So like you use me as a common denominator. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
She was trying to relate to the youth.
Yeah, I was like, anyone on TikTok?
Oh my gosh.
You're like, you should add me on Snapchat.
Yeah, if we wanted to know what she was up to this weekend, we should have had her on Snapchat because I had no idea that you were away, honestly.
Oh, I did.
Because you don't post anything.
Snitch knew.
I knew. I watch all of her stories.
On Snapchat?
Yeah.
Are you on Snapchat counts?
I don't post, but I watch.
But she should lurks. People follow you?
I don't think so.
Okay. Snitching. Well, you know where they can follow you in your adventures?
On Instagram, TikTok, sometimes YouTube.
Yes.
Oh, and
the camper and the counselor.
Right.
And the camper and the counselor, which is my children's book that comes out next week. This episode drops on Thursday. My book comes out on Tuesday, you guys. As this is a book podcast, I'm so excited to talk about my book here just quickly in terms of like what I've been up to this month. In addition to birthing an angel named Charlie, wrote a children's book. Charlie's Angel, Mama's Angel. Mm-hmm. I wrote a children's book called The Camper and the Counselor, and it is based on my love for my dear sister, Counselor Snitch.
That's me.
That's Counts. And it's the cutest, sweetest book ever. I put my heart and soul into it and blood, sweat, and tears. And if you haven't already, please pre-order a copy, or if you're listening to this and it's past Tuesday, October 10th, get your copy. They're available everywhere books are sold. So head to thecamperandthecounselor.com for all the links, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, Trulia, Talk Shop Live for a signed copy. If you're in New Jersey, I am doing a book signing at Books and Greetings on Saturday, October 14th. So find the link in my Instagram and come and see me. Bring your babies. Bring yourselves. It's going to be so much fun. No, you'll get your book there and I'm going to sign it for you. Sorry. And then I kiss your baby. And then we're going to chat. We're going to have a great time.
Great.
So I'm very excited about all of that. And I'm really excited about this episode of The Redheads. One, I miss my girls. Two, this book was booking. Now, Snitch is in charge of the recap because that's a new thing we're doing here where the person who chose the book has to recap it at the top of the episode so I can save my lungs from despair. But this book, not only was it super buzzy, New York Times, Book Talk, Bookstagram, but it was good as well. So we read Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, A Snitch's Choice. And if you didn't read along with us this month, I would say read the book. I really would. But if you don't want to read it all and you just love your girls, I would say Snitch is going to tell you what the book was about.
Okay, I'm going to do my absolute best, but just keep in mind, like, it's a 640-page book. I couldn't get everything in it, but you will get the vibe, I guess. I don't know. Okay, let me pull up my script. BRB.
We're okay. Ready.
The first book in the Empyrean series, written by Rebecca Yarros, Fourth Wing, is a new adult fantasy novel that follows the struggles of Violet Soaringale and her fellow cadets as they fight for their lives to become dragon riders for the Kingdom of Navarre. Violet is a 20-year-old resident of the fictional land of Navarre, and she's about to enter Basquiath War College in the Scribe Quadrant, like her father studying books and history. Who's moving? Okay. But her mother, the commanding general, has other plans and orders her to seek entry into the elite Dragon Riders quadrant, which is extremely dangerous and deadly. Basically, she wanted to be like a scribe and just like read books, but her mom is making her ride dragons. As a daughter of a famed war general and sister to two war heroes, Mira and Brennan, Violet must overcome her physical frailty. Oh, yeah, because she has like some sort of disease, which, by the way, when I was looking it up, she has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's implied, but the author confirmed it, and it's connective tissue disorder. So she has to fight extra hard, not just to succeed, but also to survive. So not only must she prove her strength, but she must also navigate an increasingly complex war that disrupts her understanding of the Navarre Kingdom and the world beyond. The book begins with Conscription Day, which is said to be the deadliest day for cadets. Cadets have to walk across what they call a parapet, which is basically like a balance beam in the sky, which is how I imagined it, but it's outside and it's storming outside, in order to enter the Riders' Quadrant. And even if you do make it, only a fraction of the class will live to graduation in 3 years. some background on this fantasy world. How am I doing, guys?
Really good, actually. You're really detailed. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I'm talking about dragons, no one's going to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, and this is a really hard book to recap because you have to, like, create a world.
Yes. So now some background on this fantasy world. This book takes place on one fictional continent with two kingdoms. These kingdoms were at war for 400 years. Navarre is the larger kingdom, and in the kingdom of Navarre is Tirindor, which is the largest province, and it is the only province to attempt secession 627 years later. After this rebellion, the officers were executed, and their 107 innocent children were marked with the rebellion relic by the dragon who carried out this order of the king, and conscripted their children into the Rider's Quadrant to either prove their loyalty or show their service through this death. Basgath War College is in Navarre. There's a bunch of quadrants, wing leaders, section leaders, and Violet ends up in the fourth wing, which is why the name of the book is the fourth wing. Everyone is ranked as a cadet before threshing, which is October 1st, which was yesterday, so happy threshing, which is when the dragons choose a human rider with whom they bond. Dragons speak only with their bonded riders, and the bond creates both a relic and they get a signet, which is sort of like a special power in the humans, like mind reading or manipulating metal. Violet made it across the parapet, all while the guy behind her, Jack, tried to kill her, because everybody wants to kill her because she's a Sorengale. Anyway, Violet finds Dane Atos, who her sister had told her to find him right away, as they were childhood best friends, and he would protect her and put her in her wing, which he did do. He's a second-year leader whose father is an advisor to Violet's mother, so they're all, like, besties, you know? Anyway. But Violet's sister, Mira, who's a very famous rider, told her to stay the fuck away from the powerful wing leader Zayden Riorson. Zayden is basically described as tall, dark, and handsome, but has it out for her and hates her and wants to kill her. He and many of the others are only there because of the fallout from their parents' rebellion, after which Violet's mother executed their parents. So there's a lot going on, guys. Anyway, to make matters worse, Zayden's dad played a part in Violet's brother's death, Brennan. Brennan, her brother, died. Not good. They go through a series of physical challenges. They get to threshing. During threshing, Violet bonds to not one, but two dragons, which is literally unheard of, like never happens, and obviously made her more of a target. She bound to Tairn, who is like this snarky, dry humor, overprotective. They like all have a whole thing. And he is one of the deadliest dragons in Navarre and the most celebrated in the Vale. He wasn't even supposed to be part of like the threshing. He hasn't bound to anyone. He's like not into that sort of thing. But he did. But she also bound to Andarna, who's a teeny tiny golden feather tail. She's a little cute thingy. She like doesn't even have claws. She has paws. She's basically like a dog at this point. But they both bound to her. Anyway, you can talk. You have a special connection with your dragon. Dragons only talk to the rider that they bond with. But here's where things get weird. Because Tairn and Zayden's dragon, Scale, I think that's how you pronounce it, are mated and vice versa. So now Zayden and Violet, who hate each other, have now been forever intertwined. So that's great. So as their bond grows, so does their romance slowly burns until the spark fully ignites in magically smutty ways.
Smutty ways.
Turns out, anyway, oh my God, there's so much more. I like don't know if I should do it all. Okay.
It's okay, Counts.
Let it go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, you did we good. Find out that, long story short,
so she goes through college.
No, she goes through the first year.
Yeah, she's going through her first year of college, learning the ropes, getting stronger. Zayden has a vested interest in her survival. One, because they're mated. So if she dies, her dragon dies. His dragon dies. He dies. Probably dies. We think. And two, because he likes our girl. He's fallen for her a little bit. And over the next few months, they work together a lot. They get their smut on. But they're holding each other at arm's length because they do not want to fall. That would just be bad for everyone.
And they don't fully trust each other.
No, they don't. Because up until she started school, she always thought he would want to kill her. And probably vice versa. They're responsible for each other's loved ones dying. You know, there's all this history. But they defy the odds and they fall for each other reluctantly. They won't admit it. And then there is a final task of the school before graduation called War Games. Zayden plucks Violet to work with him and his team for the game. But there has been a betrayal and someone high up at the school, Dane's father, actually sent Zayden and his team to pretty much go die outside the realm where magic can't save them and where there's all this fucked up shit happening that Zayden has known about. And that's what his dad was rebelling against. It wasn't a secession. It was about trying to help these people outside the realm who are being attacked by what they thought were fictional monsters from childhood. stories, but are actually very real. So there's...
But also, the reason why they know all of that is because Dane betrayed Violet, because his signet is that he can read your memories. It's very Renesmee in Twilight. If he puts his hand to your face, which he was secretly doing, and Violet, like, wasn't really realizing, so he knew all this information about Zayden and the rebels and all this stuff. And so she was supposed to go with Dane on this final mission, and she was like, nah, I'm going with Zayden. And Dane was like, I'll miss you, Violet, like, because she was going to die.
He knew that they were being sent to die. So Violet learns that there's this whole rebellion that's happening right under her nose. Zayden is a part of it. He did not tell her all of this time. She now knows what's going on outside of Navarre and has to decide if she's going to continue to live as she was in the dark and pretend like these things aren't happening, or if she's going to join the resistance and try and make things right in the world. She gets injured in the battle outside the wards, and she's poisoned and it's bad. And she also saves the day in the battle, of course, because of course she does.
Well, also because and, her signet is that she can wield lightning.
Right. And then she's injured. She's down. They need to take her to get help, but the school is too far, so they're taking her somewhere else. Turns out they're taking her to the city that rebelled all those years ago. They're rebuilding the city. There's a resistance. Her brother is alive. He healed her. Welcome to the revolution. Mic drop.
Sick.
Okay, that was really unfair to try and have you go that
horrible.
On your own.
Are you kidding?
We've never read a book like this on the Redheads, so we've never had to do such an in-depth recap. And we've never read a fantasy book. We've never read a book in a utopian world.
Yes, we have.
What?
Sean, my doorman's book.
Oh, what? True.
How could we forget?
True.
What was it called?
Ghosts of Gotham. Ghosts that was another Gotham. Dreadful
that was
recap.
Dreadful.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
But we made it through. That was Fourth Wing. You should really read the book because we did not do justice to the plot line. I need to know, what does everyone think about this book? Let's start with Snitch, as it was a Snitch's choice. What did you think? Did you like the book? Share.
I loved this book. Like, I honestly, I didn't know I was going to love it as much because I'm really not a fantasy girly. Like, I never read Harry Potter. I never read Twilight. I never read, like, any of those things. I just didn't think it would be for me. Or, like, Game of Thrones, I didn't read. I just watched. But I loved it so much. Like, honestly, it was 640 pages, but I didn't want it to end. Like, I loved them. It was just, like, I thought it was so well done. And, like, everything that I've seen about the book is that everyone's, like, it's a very good intro to fantasy. Because I feel like a lot of these books spend an entire book setting up the land. Whereas, like, I can't take that. Like, I thought they did a very good job of kind of, like, explaining everything, even though it's confusing, while also getting to the point.
Yeah, explaining and moving along, which made the beginning kind of confusing. And I was like, the fuck is this threshing parapet? Like, I couldn't keep it apart, but I just trusted that if I kept moving, that eventually these things would stick. And for the most part,
yeah,
they did.
No, I loved it so much. Honestly, I'm so glad that I waited this long because I've known about it, but I waited to read it for this. But I'm so glad because now I don't have to wait that long between the sequel, which comes out in November. So everything is coming up snitchy. I loved this book. I'm excited to hear what everyone else thought. I hope everybody else loved it. All I know is that everyone who, the Redheads, loved it. So, like, yeah, that makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yes. Let's move to Rebecca. I think more friendly fire.
You guys, I am so obsessed with this book. I literally FaceTime Snitch, like, sitting on my couch, refusing to, like, flip the page because I did not want it to end. And I was just like, I've never been so aligned because I knew she loved it.
Yeah.
And I was like, we are on the same team once and for
finally.
All.
Finally.
Obsessed with this book, but I am not surprised at all. I am a true Harry Potter stan. Like, I was that gal who was getting the released Harry Potter the minute it came out, like, on that list. I remember getting it at camp and, like, reading it in a day. I loved Hunger Games. This was, like, a fusion of, like, Harry Potter, Hunger Games, Game of Thrones, like, all of the best things. Mm-hmm. So I was all in. It was just so well done. I was obsessed. Yeah. I'm telling you guys, like, I never wanted it to end. The only thing I'm disappointed about is that the sequel isn't out because, like, I want it right now.
Yeah.
So this month, long wait. The only thing I will say is I thought the end was a little rushed. All of a sudden, like, Violet is, like, incredibly poisoned, like, potentially dying. And, like, she wakes up 3 days later and, like, is totally fine. Like, I wanted a little bit more there. And she just like remembers everything and like has like three questions and like we're good to go. Like she and I mean, maybe
well, we
not.
Don't know that. I think the author writing the last chapter from Zayden's perspective is like because we don't know what's going on with Violet, what she experienced in those 3 days, how she's actually feeling. I feel like it leaves it open to like it not being that obvious.
Yeah, perhaps. But like it was like 99.999% epic. And then like I had like that minor critique in the last 5 minutes.
Okay, fair. Now, Dana, what did you think?
Okay. I appreciated this book. I liked the suspense and the action of it all. I, too, was a big Harry Potter fan. I loved Hunger Games. I was invested. I enjoyed reading it and taking myself out of my comfort zone because I'm not typically a fantasy girl. But the writing, you guys, it was beyond cringe for me. I couldn't deal with it. I just felt it was so YA, like written for a fourth grader. How many times was she going to repeat the phrase, oh gods? Like, kind of funny the first time. Oh,
it's pretty
not,
funny.
Oh God.
It's pretty funny.
Think about, like, by the 100th usage of oh gods, I was like, okay, we get the point you're trying to make. She also kept saying, like, fair point, point taken. Like, I don't know, something about the dialogue and the lack of compound sentences drove me mad. I know the purpose of this book is not to be some literary masterpiece. Like, it's action oriented. I know that, like, I'm. Maybe my expectations are too high for what the genre was, but I just prefer realistic fiction. I thought the whole thing was like a little eye-rolly with all the dragons and the powers. And like, I feel bad being so negative because at the end of the day, I did really like it and want to continue reading it and didn't want it to end. But like, I was rolling my eyes at so many parts in it. Like,
boo,
I
Dana.
I can't immerse myself so deeply into those like worlds as other people can.
Understood. So I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I will be reading the next one. More in the beginning, I felt that way of like, oof, cringe, or like they would use the word freaking, like, you're so freaking rude.
Yes,
I'm like, oh,
yes.
But the more I liked the book, the less those things bothered me. And so in the beginning, like, I did feel like one, confused, and there was so much world building that had to happen while also moving the plot forward, and some of the like descriptions of what would happen on the parapet or like in the gauntlet, I'm like, oh Jesus, like it's hard to read, and like you really have to pay attention or else you don't know what happened. You can't just like jump around. So that was, you know, an adjustment for me. But once I got into it, like I was totally into it. It was a really nice book to read like right now while I have a newborn, and it just was like entering another world, which I really appreciated, and it really gripped me. And I felt like the love story was pretty well done. Like there's enough like enemies to lovers, real context there, but enough, there was enough where that showed how they really did fall in love. And then also this bond with their dragons where I can believe that they overcame all those things. So, I mean, one thing that I always hate is like when two people are clearly in love with each other, OTP forever, and they're like, we can't be together.
Oh, for sure.
Don't fall for me. I won't fall for you. Like, shut up. Like,
when someone starts saying, don't fall for me, like, that's just like immediately, like, it's like, that means I'm going to. So, what are you doing here?
It's just like, shut up.
No,
okay?
It's so fucking dumb. Also, it's like, yeah, okay, so we're like gonna have sex and like do all that stuff for the rest of our lives because our lives are forever intertwined. Like, you can't get rid of me. But throughout all that, we're never gonna fall in love.
Right. And it's like, I'm reading this. I could tell these two people like each other, attracted to each other, and their dragons are mated. So I'm like, OTP, let's be together forever. We also don't have a choice, but good thing we're obsessed with each other. And they read that as, we can't be together. It'll get too complicated. So like, what, you're really going to marry other people while your dragons are mated? Like, duh, the four of you are in some sort of quad.
1,000%. Like, if there's any two people who should fall for each other, it's these two. Like, there's actually no other option. It's like, fall for me. You have to. We're bonded.
Right, and they already like each other a lot.
Yeah.
I also know you're supposed to, like, suspend disbelief, but the whole premise of this book hinged upon her survival. Was she going to make it? Every single thing was like, is she going to survive? Of course she's going to fucking survive. There's 700 pages. So, like, for me, I wasn't like, oh, my God, on the nail, like, tip of my toes.
I never thought she was going to die in any of the stuff. It was more so, like, it was so, I was interested to see who was going to die, like, around her.
Yeah. I agree. When she was walking the parapet, I was like, okay, the book just started. She's obviously going to
make it. And that's how I felt a lot. I'm like, I'm bored. Like, I'm not.
You know what would have been, like, an interesting tactic? If the book started with, like, a different character who dies on the parapet. Yeah. And then we go to Violet, and it's just so that, like, you think maybe this next, like, character is going to die.
The end.
But that would just be a waste of time. Okay, well, let's get into the questions. We have great book club questions. We also have great redhead questions. We're going to talk about all the theories, all the plot lines. Let's get into it. Today's episode of The Redheads is brought to you by Natural Diamonds. Did you know you can tell the difference between a laboratory-grown diamond and a natural diamond? Laboratory-grown diamonds are mass-produced in factories in just a few weeks and are easily detected due to their distinct patterns. On the other hand, natural diamonds are over a billion years old and support the livelihoods of over 10 million people worldwide. The positive impact of natural diamonds is widespread. Around 80% of the value of every rough diamond remains in local communities and supports infrastructure, healthcare, education, and environmental protection. So next time you're thinking of celebrating a special moment in your life, remember that your natural diamond also protects vulnerable wildlife species and brings prosperity to many less fortunate communities around the world. For more information, visit naturaldiamonds.com. Great. Our first question. So there were a lot of reveals toward the end of the book. We're going to jump towards the end. Zayden and the Separatists aiding the, quote, enemy. Venin's not being a fable. Brennan being alive. There was also a lot of foreshadowing throughout the book. Which of these things did you see coming? So did anyone see Zayden working for the other side in some capacity, that he was actually being, quote, unquote, traitorous? Did anyone see that coming?
No.
No, me neither. Especially because of the 107 scars.
I didn't see him being traitorous, but I thought them meeting in groups when they weren't supposed to, like, indicated something was amiss, but not that.
Well, I feel like when they met in that big group that Violet saw, it was, like, to prove that he didn't have other bad intentions. Like, yeah, he was breaking the rules, but just to, like, help people from his province and the fellow kids and, like, oh, that's his big, bad, traitorous thing. Because if she was eavesdropping and they were doing bad stuff, like, she would have heard it. So that to me was like, oh, he's trustworthy, he's here, and he's trying to help kids get through the program. I did not think he was doing anything. I thought maybe he had, like, some secret missions from command. That's why he was leaving and coming back, because he is super powerful, but not that he was, like, working his own thing.
Yeah. And they redacted everything. I thought that was, like, he was involved in that.
Yeah, and, like, the fact that there was, like, bad stuff happening in the kingdom, but not that, like, the kingdom was so corrupt.
Right, yeah.
The Venins not being a fable, did anyone see anything like that coming?
No, except, like, I definitely felt like there was going to be something, like, weird with the dad. Like,
I thought the brother was alive the whole time. I really did. 100%. Definitely. They were just, like, skipped over him. I when that happened, I was waiting for it. Even, like, right before that page, I was like, when's the brother coming out?
So I was questioning the brother. She said, like, one time in the middle of the book, after saying Brennan was killed, then it said Brennan was killed by maybe Fen or whoever, according to the scripture or something. I was like, oh, so maybe the scripture is wrong, but I thought maybe someone else killed him, because this whole time she had, like, an issue with Zayden because he was responsible in part for Brennan's death, but I thought maybe somebody else killed Brennan and that would make it okay for her to be with Zayden. Then when they were bringing her to a healer closer than Basquiat, I thought it was going to be Brennan. Did anyone see it then?
No.
Oh, okay. So I was, like, a little ahead of
I didn't see it, like, at all.
And, yeah, when who was coming into the room, I was like, is Brennan?
Yes, Jackie, I was very much like, Brennan.
I thought
alive.
Maybe, like, Mira, like, if anything, like.
No, but they needed a healer.
I thought either that Brennan or her mom had, like, something funky going on, that, like, she was actually close with Zayden.
Well, we're going to talk about the mom, because she's probably the character we got the most questions about. Like, what is she about? So next question, do you think Zayden was justified in keeping his secret? If not, when was the appropriate time for him to tell Violet? If yes, was it fair of Zayden to ask Tarn to keep the secret too?
I definitely think it was fair for him to keep the secret. I think the secret being revealed was a faux pas on timing, and that was unfortunate, but I don't think he needed to disclose what was going on until, like, he felt there was an appropriate moment. I don't know when that would have been, but, like, let him do his thing. He's been on his own trying to figure this out. It's not, like, a small detail to unveil.
Yeah, I don't think she would have believed him, so then it would have just turned into this kerfuffle, and Dane would have seen her memory. So it's not like he didn't trust her. I think he would have trusted her. Even if she didn't believe him, he would trust that she wouldn't tell anyone what he was doing. But I think it would then expose the whole mission because Dane is just going around, like, getting people's secrets.
When he came back at her with, like, Dane has definitely been touching your face and seeing my shit, I was like, that's an amazing excuse for why he hasn't told her.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at him for not telling her. I agreed with him that he didn't lie at any point. He obviously omitted stuff. But, like, when she asked him straight up, where were you that night, he said exactly where he was. She didn't ask, what were you doing there?
Totally. Yeah.
You know, so I don't think she has cause to be big mad, especially after everything that they went through. But, like, her acting at the end, through Zayden's perspective, like, they're never getting back together and they're just working together now. Like, come on, girl, your dragons are maiden.
You don't really have much more than that. But it's cute that you're pretending. 1,000%. I'm more mad at him for not saying I love you.
Yeah. Yes. Why do you think the author chose to write the last chapter from Zayden's perspective? How did you feel about that?
I was wondering the same thing.
I didn't love it.
I don't know. Maybe it's because
I didn't love it because it was even more cringy of writing. Like
1,000%.
Oh, he was like, here's why love this girl. Anything to get that chick back. Like, I hated the writing.
That's
like
literally not what he said. But
no, it kind of is. Like that's exactly why I didn't like it. You really hit the nail on the head, Dana. I was like, I have this vision of Zayden being just like a little bit mysterious, really composed, just like you can't quite read him. Mm-hmm. And yes. I like that being my view, and it really all cracked and crumbled, and he was kind of like a tool, and I was just like, that's not the Zayden I know and love.
Right. Yeah, and it is kind of cringe when like female writers especially like write men, so it's nice when we only hear about them like through the female perspective because like we can relate to that, but then like it's like, okay, that's probably not what's going on in his head.
It made me worry that the second book, not that I'm necessarily reading it, is going to be from Zayden's perspective.
It's not. It's about her second year.
Okay, good.
Oh, so she's going back to school. Next, we'll get there. And Darna said that the signets reflect who the rider is at their core. How do you think wielding lightning reflects Violet? What signet did you find most beneficial? Which one would you
want? Well, I feel like from a, like, what's the word? Visual perspective, like they made so many comments about her silver hair, like they kept calling her silver one or like whatever, so I feel like it made a lot of sense, the lightning, because like lightning silver. But in terms of like who she is as a human, I don't know how that really correlates to her. But what I also thought was interesting is that her mom's signet is that she like controls the weather in a way, and so hers is she wields lightning. So I wonder if there's going to be some sort of, like, crossover between the two.
A collab.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like lightning signifies, like, hugeness and loudness and power, which juxtaposed her every descriptor. And their whole thing was, like, checks and balances, yin and yang. You have to keep things in balance. So, like, I kind of liked how lightning didn't seem to fit her personality by being this loud, boisterous thing. And, like, aided her where she might have been deficient in terms of, like, grandiosity.
Yeah.
Okay, low key, like, I wasn't that impressed with that signet. I sort of expected more, and I, like, didn't see how it would become, like, so powerful in battle. Like, I saw moments of it, but I'm like, I don't know. This, like, wasn't
screaming. Yeah, I was a little underwhelmed, too.
I think it's going to prove to be, like, a much bigger thing than we think. Like, because at the end, when she was talking to that, what was it, Wyvern, whatever, and they were like how, I don't remember what she said, but that they were like holding her back. She was like, you could open up the sky. Like, I think that there's like so much untapped potential that we don't even like fucking know what she could do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if she had like a huge obvious power that could dominate everything, then she would be a threat to the general and even to her mother. Mm-hmm. If she had like the biggest, baddest power in the land. But I think wielding lightning combined with maybe something else Aunt Darna will give her and her ability to use her lightning, and then maybe if she does work with her mom in the future, like they control the whole sky, which is where the battles really happen.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it has the potential for more, but I agree. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But who do you guys think is the best one?
I do think stopping time was really good.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. That's the best one. For sure.
Yeah.
But that's not a signet. It was just, and that shit was confusing too. Yeah, like
cherry on top.
Like, I can give you my gift or channel my power. They're not the same. And one's going to kill Darna.
Yeah. That was confusing.
Yeah. I like Danes. It's kind of like mind reading, but yeah, less intense.
I guess, but yeah, you have to get up close and personal. That's so hard in war.
Oh, just like for friends.
And also intelligence. Intelligence, like interrogation, Satchel.
Yeah. I liked Rhiannon's because she could like use her powers and things would like fly into, like she could
move things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like during battle you could like take someone's dagger and be like, mine now.
So true. In chapter 37, the fable is quoted, quote, but it was the third brother who commanded the sky to surrender its greatest power, who finally vanquished his jealous siblings at a great and terrible price. The Venon then says, this is what Snitch was saying, quote, you could command the sky to surrender all its power. What do you think the significance is that Violet's signet is commanding the sky? She says herself, I am the sky and the power of every storm that has been. I am infinite. Yeah, there's, I can't make out what all those things mean, but it's big.
Yeah, I think we need to like read that fable and figure out what what the origin story is, and I guess maybe that's Violet.
And I think like without spoiling the series, she will, quote, command the sky to surrender its greatest power and finally vanquish the others.
Well, wouldn't the sky's greatest power be her mother?
No, the mom does storms. I feel like there's they left a lot unsaid for the purpose of making a second book and like how she's going to harness her lightning to be more than like we can expect.
Yeah.
But I was like also struggling to visualize the lightning situation.
I wasn't.
Like at the end, when they slowed time, it was helpful when she was like, I drew the bolt into his head. But like when she was having her smut time, was there just like lightning bolts exploding everywhere?
Yes. Yeah, in the sky somewhere like far off, you know, hit a tree. Yeah.
Well, also the way I was imagining it was like her on the dragon and like striking lightning and then like her taking the lightning and moving it to hit, like literally with her hand. That's what I saw.
Oh no, I thought she like sends a bolt into the sky, a bolt that's directed
to
hit someone.
I think
someone.
It's both.
I think it was only both when Andarna like channeled her power and did some time stopping, and then she like took the bolt and was like squiggle.
Yeah, she took the bolt, or mentally. I think it's only mental. Like she sends a bolt like mentally, and then with Andarna and the time, she was able to slowly zigzag the bolt to the person. Yeah. This sounds so dumb.
And this is where I would get in the book where I'm like, this is so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Okay. It appeared that Mira and Dane both knew a lot more than Violet about the retribution that Zayden swore against General Sarengale. How much more do you think they know about the reasons for the rebellion and the current war Peromiel is fighting against the Venon? So that's a separate question, the second one. But the first one, there's more to the Zayden scars, General Sarengale, you know, acceptance than we know, right? Like, do we know everything? I don't feel like we
do. I
don't
know if we know everything, but what we do know is that, like, he took responsibility for the 107 rebels, like, their children. And so if one of them fucks up, he dies. And I think that that's a big deal because he, I think, has a really strong signet. And he also, Scale is one of, like, the most powerful, biggest dragons. So it's like he would be giving all of that up for these people, if that makes sense.
Like, no, it doesn't. And it also doesn't explain, like, why he's so secretive towards Violet about everything. Like, I feel like him and the mother did some sort of backdoor deal that we don't know about. Because, and we also know that he, like, took the lashings for every kid. Was every kid going to get a lashing if he didn't take them all?
I think it was just, like, a sign. Like, it's just, like, to remember.
I'm confused.
And also, that would make sense, though, because they, like, burn these relics into their, like, arms and backs. Like, what's a lashing now?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's more there, and it might explain the mystery surrounding Violet's mom, because one of the questions that we got, and we can just get into it now, is do you think, what side is she on? Is she really on the side of the government and in her position and ignoring what's going on outside the wards? Because we know that she knows about the Venon being real because she had the dagger that would kill them. Do you think that she's part of the resistance, very undercover, or that she, is she bad or good?
I think she's bad.
I don't know. Brennan being alive casts some question marks. Is like, part of me thought she made a deal with, like, keep my son alive, but, like, put him off in this island to never see anyone again versus killing him. But I am not confident in that.
Now that we're talking about it, she's definitely good because we're all designed to believe that she's the worst human in the world, and that's going to just be a new revealed surprise of like.
And her husband was clearly good. Like he was on the right side.
Yeah, but that's where I think I feel like something fishy happened with his death.
Yeah, some people were theorizing that she poisoned him. Or maybe he was, you know, espousing these theories too, which got Fenn Ryerson killed swiftly. So maybe he had to die also. But also, it's a question mark, the fact that she sent Violet into the Riders quadrant. Because on the one hand, yeah, it seemed really brutal. She wasn't prepared. And, like, her mom is like, you're going. You can't do this thing that you want to do. Like, you have to be a rider and, you know, probably die. But on the other hand, imagine if she didn't. And Violet is meant to be a rider. She's meant to be a great something because she's a great scribe and a great writer, and she's going to probably lead some people one day. But like without her mother really pushing her towards that, she wouldn't have reached her potential.
For sure, but maybe like I don't think her mom was expecting that. I think that Violet's too smart for her own good, that if she had gone to the scribe quadrant, like she would have figured some shit out, whereas in the writer's quadrant she was more likely to die.
Oh, that's an interesting theory, Snitch. The mom didn't want her to, like, come to certain conclusions as a scribe. I thought, like, the mom had a more intense incentive than just our whole family's writers, you gotta be one. Like, she knew something that we didn't about what it would mean for her to become a writer, but I don't know if she could have that much foresight with the power she was going to gain.
Well, someone wrote into a question saying, since Violet's mother's decision to send Violet into the Riders Quadrant was a last-minute decision, could she maybe have switched sides after learning that the scribes were erasing history and this was her way of protecting Violet?
Now I got to read the sequel to see what the hell the mom's doing.
Yeah, but also, like, if you look back at the mom scenes, like, the mom ran into Brennan once when they were going up to the flight field.
Mm-hmm. Not Brennan.
No, sorry, Zayden.
Yeah. Right.
And I could see, they didn't speak or anything, but I could see it being two people who are working together.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they seem to kind of know the other.
That's why I thought it was maybe going to be the mom coming in to heal Violet at the end, because like I thought she was on Zayden's side in a way we were unaware of.
But she might be working for the resistance just from a position of power. Like, how are they even getting weapons made of ward material to smuggle to the Gryphon Riders?
Kept getting weapons made and things made like for Violet, like different daggers and this and that. And so I feel like it was, he has some sort of like thing, operation with like rebels.
Yeah.
No, but Red, I think you're right that we're made to so obviously hate her because she's bad that she can't actually be bad.
Yeah.
Like, she's the damn hero.
Also, someone asked, do you think Violet's dad might be alive too?
I thought that kind of from the beginning. Like, that's who I thought would be alive. I did. Brennan didn't
cry. How did he die again?
A heart attack?
Like a heart attack?
Like, yeah. Sus.
Definitely sus.
Like in a magical kingdom? Does that happen?
Just, like, or didn't he have a stroke or something? I don't know. But like his heart failed.
No, he had two. Remember? Like he survived the first one. The second one was fatal.
Yeah, maybe someone tried to poison him once and then they poisoned him successfully.
I don't know. There's definitely, whether or not he's dead, there's definitely going to be more that comes out about his death.
Oh, for sure. And what he learned before he died that maybe made him susceptible to murder.
Well, and also his note saying, like, when the time comes, I know you'll make the right choice.
Yeah. Also, do you think Violet's sister Mira knows about the Vivern and Wyvern?
I kind of have, like, a hot take. I think that Mira, because, like, while I love her and, like, I think that she's, like, badass and stuff, I feel like once she finds out about all this stuff, she's going to be, like, staunchly not on the rebellion.
Yeah, she's kind of a narc.
Yeah.
She's like Jane.
Yeah.
Well, I have two thoughts about her. One, I don't think she knows because she said she thought she saw a riot of dragons. I think what she saw was Wyvern and she couldn't understand it. But then on the other hand, her power is that she can fix wards. She's like good at, and by the way, don't ask me what a ward is.
What's a ward?
No idea.
Don't know.
But if
wards,
someone.
Aren't they like the borders essentially of like Navarre?
Yeah, they're like go outside a magical border.
The magic doesn't work.
Is it physical?
Yeah, but it's, like, made of magic and knotted.
I think it's, like, a barrier. It's, like, once you go – it's, like, I think it's clear. And like
an electric fence.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because she has the power to fix wards, and the weapons that were made for the Gryphon Flyers are made of what's in the wards, I feel like she might be helping make the weapons. And she did have a really big reaction when she saw Zayden with Violet when they went to that fortress. I feel like it's because she knows what Zayden is up to and like doesn't want Violet a part of like this weapon smuggling business.
I could see that.
Just something to think about. Okay, next question. Every year, less dragons are bonding. Do you think the Navarians' politics are at play? Do you think they just follow the allegiances of their riders or choose riders they feel will support their cause?
Do the dragons all know what's going on?
I don't think so.
Well, yeah. Hers well, did, so it makes me think others do.
Like, aren't they going to chat?
But then what I think is, like, now knowing what's going on outside the realm, like, everything in the first 75% of the book is just, like, so dumb. Like, they have all this power, all these dragons, and the 400-year war they're fighting, or they think they're fighting, is against some Gryphon Flyers who literally can't scale, can't do anything, can't even cross their border. The dragons take them out in 1-2 punch. Why do they have to have, like, the most vicious fighters of all time? It's because, you know, they know about the Wyvern and Cryvern, but everything just is so dumb. And I felt like in the beginning with the parapet and the obstacle course, you know, only the strong survive. But then when they really start killing each other, it's like, for what? What's these war games for? How dumb. What a waste of talent.
I agree. I'm like, they have got, why are there so many internal competitions to kill off each other? I'm right. These are, like, at this point, it's like a civil war is taking place. Like, you have to preserve your talent that you just cultivated for an entire year.
Totally agree. I also think the reasoning is stupid because it's like to weed out the weakest or whatever. But it's like, even if that's not the case, like, they're still like decently strong. But say you go to war, right? Then you still have more people on dragons that can be more bodies. Like, I'm not going to say that they're going to win, and they will likely die in said war, but like, you have more people.
I didn't hate it when they were, like, training to get bonded. Then, like, get rid of the masses. The less, the better. So there are enough dragons per person. But after they bonded and they were doing all the war games, it's like, no, you guys made it. This is the strongest of the strong. Like, why are you killing each other?
1,000%.
All those games, like, felt really gratuitous. And they had to take them so seriously. But it's like, called a game. You're really going to, like, kill your classmate over a game? It doesn't matter.
Even killing them on the mat, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. Next question. There were smut scenes throughout the story. Do you feel this was necessary to show the intense physical and emotional connection between Violet and Zayden, or did it distract from the story?
Absolutely necessary.
Needed more.
Okay. I have a hot take. I thought it was distracting and, like, annoying. Like, move on. Okay, get it. They had sex. Like, can we get to the rest of the book, please? Like, I know that you have to have those, like, scenes in because that's what the audience wants. But I don't know. I was just interested in the storyline. It was, like, a little too long-winded.
Jax, you've been a mother for too long. No, I know. It was so hot.
No, it was so good. Also, like, it took literally until 70%. Like, it took forever for them to, like, actually
The build-up was gorgeous. Oh, my God.
All the redheads and everyone who read this was obsessing over the smut. This book is dragon smut. And when I was at the 70th percent mark and, like, there was zero smut, I was like, how is this the takeaway from the book? It's over and it hasn't happened.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, so smutty, because I do feel like when a book is super smutty, it's like there's a lot of instances of smut, and then it's gonna kick off early. Maybe she would have, like, slept with Dane beforehand until she got together with Zayden. So it wasn't, like, that frequent, but I don't know. It kind of dragged on, and I know that's me being, like, total loser mother, like, but I was just like, okay, we get it.
No, fucking. And by the way, I think you should prepare, because I feel like, based off of the reaction to this book, like, I feel like there's gonna be more smut in Iron Flame. So,
well, and also because now that the dam has broken,
right?
You know, they'll have to make up. That'll probably take 20% for her to trust him again. They'll probably have some hate sex, but there's more opportunities for smut. And if enemies to lovers, you really can't get frisky until 70%, at least 60%.
And if it's too soon, then you weren't enemies.
Yeah, it's so true.
Wow.
Next. Zayden is given the choice by Colonel Atos, quote, "You have the choice of abandoning the village of our enemy or abandoning command of your wing to test his loyalty. Since they chose to save the village, do you think any of them will be able to return to Basquiat? And if so, how?"
No, well, I don't think they're going back.
Well, Snitch I said think, the sequel is her sophomore year.
Yeah, I think that she's going to go back. I think that they'll, like, figure out a way in terms of, like, either, like, she found out about it and she was like, no, and, like, wasn't part of it. Like,
she'll go back undercover.
Yeah, I think she's going to go back undercover. And I think that they're going to, like, commute. Well, because Zayden and her can communicate, like, through their brains. But also they can communicate through their dragon. So, like, whatever she's finding out, she can communicate with Taryn, who can then communicate with Scale. And then, like, you know. So I think she's going to be an undercover cop. But I do think that I'm curious to see, even though I fucking hate him, I want to see how her relationship with Dane plays out once she goes back. And
can we talk about Dane?
Can we talk about Dane? But you know what I think is going to happen with Dane? I feel like she's going to have to pretend to, like fall for him. She's going to have to pretend like she saw what Zayden was about and she was against it. Like, she didn't believe him. She ran away from him and to Dane so that she can, like, use Dane. That's the only way that Dane will go for it.
Her.
Yeah, because I do feel like this book really reminds me of, like, Hunger Games mostly. Yeah. There's always two, even Twilight, you know, Jacob, Edward, Peeta Gale. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was Dane Zayden until Dane turned out to be a fucking loser. And there was never even what I liked about the book is there was never even a question. Like, in the beginning, it was like, will it be her old childhood friend or the smoldering, you know, rebellious type? It's like, by literally 30%, there was no choice. Like, Dane was just a fucking loser.
Narc.
And a traitor. But I do think in the next book, she might have to, like, pretend to be with him, and that might make feelings arise, reminding her of childhood, very much like when Bella needed Jacob to protect her while Edward was gone.
No, this also gives me strong Harry Potter vibes, like, in, like, the latter half of the series. The wizards just didn't return to school. Like, the rebellion was too much. Like, there was, like, okay, like, we're folding the education piece of our day-to-day.
Yeah, but I do think there's a world where she can go back and work undercover and pretend like she just, like, turned away from Zayden and all of them.
Agreed. Maybe for Violet, but for the rest of, like, the rebellious kid crew?
No. Because Dane and his dad, like, know what they've been up to. It's over. They'll be killed.
Yeah, no, it was a test, and they failed. Mm-hmm. Of course they can't come back.
They did do a good job of, like, giving us enough. I didn't leave the book being like, there's so much more I need to know. I need the second book, but it was just enough to pique my interest.
Yeah, the end of the book and really the second half of it reminded me so much of Hunger Games, the end, like, how, you know, that district went underground and they're back, baby. And that's literally what Hunger Games was. And even in Hunger Games, they're playing these dumb game the entire time. That's like, that's supposed to be the pinnacle of, like, danger and what's going on in the country or whatever it's called. But it turns out there's this, like, huge war happening.
Yes. It was very similar to Hunger Games.
Yeah. But also someone wrote in saying they felt it was very similar to Game of Thrones, where the wildlings are the Gryphons, counselor. Mm. And the White Walkers are the Wyvern Cryvern.
No, I think it was a healthy mix of, like, all of the above.
It's like, you think the wildlings are your enemy. You think the Gryphons are your enemy, but it's the Wyvern Cryverns. White Walkers.
Literally.
The Wyvern Cryverns.
Don't even ask me what those things' names are. Wyvern Venom?
Venom.
That's
what I think are the White Walkers.
Yeah. No, that's the name, but that doesn't stick in my head. Wyvern Venom. They're, like, a little too similar and a little too different.
Yeah.
So funny.
It doesn't roll off the tongue like Wyvern Cryvern. Okay, next question. It seems like a common theme throughout the books is characters not being as they appear. Dane, the good guy. Zayden, the ruthless. Violet, the weak. General Lilith Sarangale, Violet's mother, appears to be heartless. However, she's one of the few people that felt Violet was capable of becoming a rider. She also objected to having the children of the betrayers be forced to watch their parents be put to death. Do you think the future books will reveal more depth of her character? What do you think her motive was for having Violet enter the Riders' Quadrant?
I think the future books will definitely, like, give us more information. But I don't know. I mean, also, like, how can we think that she might be good if she was the one who ordered that all of the, like, the rebels get executed? Like, all, like, Zayden's, like, parents, like, whatever.
All I know is there's more to it than her just wanting Violet to enter because all of the family members were writers.
For sure. I agree with that.
Yeah. Also, I feel like it could be a world where she really thought they were rebels. And in the 2 years since all of that happened, she's seen the light. Maybe even with the death of her husband.
Oh, maybe. Like, maybe he left something.
Maybe he left something, and then she saw he was killed, and she came to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, also, I want to point out that, so she controls storms, and I saw this on TikTok, which I thought was interesting, is that when she was on the parapet, Violet, that was when the storm was at its worst. So I just want that noted, like, for the record.
She, also, or next question, is she trying to kill her daughter? Send her to Rider Squadron to die because she don't like her and she's weak and she's a scribe and they have too much information.
Right. And she's too curious. Like, that could easily be.
It's also weird because, like, Zayden's whole thing was they would have killed us, but I convinced them to just put us in the Rider Squadron because they thought, like, we'd die there anyway if we weren't tough enough. But then they elevated Xander to, like, wing leader, et cetera. You'd think if their intention was actually to get rid of the rebels, there would be some limitations on how far they can exceed in the Rider Squadron.
Yeah, but I think that once he bonded his dragon, so that's, like, a few months in, his power is kind of beyond them. And it's up to the cadets who they're going to promote and stuff. And, like, he's just the obvious choice, you know, the cream rose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next question. This is a big, big question. So General Melgrin gave the rebel kids this relic that that showed that they're rebel kids and they were always going to be marked. But the general's dragon gifted the children with a relic that would block his own that would block the general from seeing them if they gathered in more than groups of three. So that's why they're not allowed to gather in groups of three. I thought it was just so that, you know, they don't plot a rebellion.
Me too, by the way, totally. Same.
But it's actually because if there's more than three separatist children in a group, the general can't see what they're up to. Why do you think the general's dragon would gift that to them?
How do we know the general's dragon gifted it to them?
That's just what it said somewhere early in the book when you didn't care enough, me included, to understand what it was saying, but, like, that's
got it. Got fact. It. No, it's a great question.
Yeah. I think that's just, like, one of the things that time will tell.
Perhaps, like, the dragon knows that something is amiss outside the wards and outside of Navarre and, like, has an obligation to his rider to, like, be loyal, but, like, maybe also is sort of, like, playing both sides of the coin and is, like, yeah, like, these kids, if they're anything like their parents, like, they might unveil the reality of the situation. And, like, that's, like, his, like, diplomatic way of going about it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Kind of.
Everyone is, like, looking perplexed.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really, like,
it's not, shall I elaborate?
No, it's perplexing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were a lot of times in this book where I didn't care enough to think deeply about, like, the background or the rationale because it was not so straightforward. You know, everything seemed a little convoluted, and I'm sure, Snitch, as you said, it'll get sorted out in the next few books. But, like, it didn't capture my interest enough for me to care enough.
No, me neither. But then I've seen this question a few times, and it's like, this is obviously a big thing, and I think it will indicate, like, some some loyalties that the dragons might have going forward.
Also, what I find so interesting and what she left so open-ended is that, like, they kept saying that they really don't know that much about dragons.
True.
And what they do know is sometimes wrong. Like, so I think when she bound to two dragons, or, like, they were both talking to her, she was like, what? Like, dragons can't do that. She's like, he was like, why? Because you human said so? Like, they just don't know anything, especially, like, about Andarna, because, like, the Feather Tail, they don't, like, know much about them because they never bond. So, like, I think that there's, with that, they can do anything because they don't know.
Yeah. And what happens if, like, a dragon is at odds with their rider? Like, the rider does something that they don't agree with.
I think a lot of the times, like, from what we've read, I mean, obviously, like, Violet's bond is very, very strong. But for the most part, like, a lot of the times when we were reading about people who, like, fell off their dragons, like, we know from Taryn that, like, they can catch their rider, but they don't. So it's like, I think a lot of the time if, like, a rider does something that they don't fuck with, like, they just kill them.
Hmm.
But then it's but like, you chose poorly, and like, right. I thought you're
always
right.
Yeah, they're supposed to know.
Yeah.
Dragons don't make mistakes.
What I do find interesting, well, what, like, I thought, like, was upsetting was that Taryn, like, kept the whole Zayden thing from her. Because, like, while I get that they're bonded, Scale and Taryn, it's like, she needs to be able to trust him. Like, isn't that, like, the whole fucking point?
I felt like he knew that she would know in time. Like, I feel like there's so many things about Taryn that she doesn't know yet. He's lived, what, 100 years?
Right.
And they'll get there. And he's been, like, revealing things slowly to her, like, even about his powers and, like, you know, showing her new stuff. So I didn't feel like it was that crazy. I think she
felt like Taryn knew something that she didn't. You
know? No, but, like, the thing that he knew about Zayden, it speaks to Zayden's, like, good character. You know what I mean? It's not like he knew that Zayden was a bad person. Like, what he's doing is good, and, like, in time Violet will know.
Also, Taryn exposing that information to Violet rather than Zayden, I feel like would have just been so messy. And, like, is Taryn really going to get involved and implicated in, like, human drama? No. I feel like it's, like, below his pay grade, and he's like, you guys got this. And he has an obligation to hit to Sejal.
Yeah. No, but I really think, like, if what Taryn knew was that Zayden was betraying her, say, even on a small level, like, hooking up with someone else, like, that's something he would tell her. But
yeah,
it wasn't an actual betrayal because Zayden wasn't doing anything wrong.
Right. He's not actually a traitor. She's just still in the mindset of, like, he's aiding the enemy because she hasn't gotten all the facts of this is not the enemy.
Right. She wasn't ready to know yet.
Yes. Right. And also, I feel like what we haven't spoken about is, like, for so long she thought that he, like, was a rebel and, like, never trusted him, and just, like, that their values didn't align. So, like, I do think we need to give her some time to, like, wrap her head around the fact that, like, it seemed like he was a rebel, but he's not. He's actually doing it for, like, the greater good. But, like, that means that, like, everything that I believe in is wrong. Right. So, like, she needs a minute to, like,
she has some cognitive dissonance going on that she needs to reconcile.
Right. Next redhead question. My question is on Andarna. Do you feel like Violet having two dragons was a little extraneous? Did you think Andarna served a purpose? I thought the fact that she had both the most powerful dragon and a second dragon was a little over the top, especially also as the daughter of a prominent leader. What are your thoughts?
I'm so agreeing with this. I don't know. Like, it was excessive. I'm like, okay, like, she has the biggest, best dragon. She has a second dragon. She is the best signet. She's, like, the daughter of a general. I was like, it's a lot.
I kind of liked it because the book made you think she was going to bond with Andarna the whole time, because everyone's mm-hmm. like, Feathertails don't bond. Feathertails don't bond. Feathertails are small and weak and no one sees their potential. So it's like, okay, this bitch is obviously getting this dragon.
I thought she was going to be with a Feathertail, because also it would be a dragon that would be, like, small enough
for
her. And she would have her, like, own little bespoke dragon.
When it was the powerful dragon, what's his name? Taryn?
Taryn.
I was like, oh, this was actually a good twist. Like, everyone thought she was going for the weak Feathertail. Instead, she got, like, the most powerful dragon. I didn't see this coming. And then when she bonded both of them, I was like, oh, I'm still kind of happy that she got the Feathertail after all.
Me too. I agree. Because I just, like, feel like Andarna is just, like, so cute. And, like, I just want good things for her. And, like, she reminded me of, like, Magnolia. Like, literally.
Literally. Well, people were saying, so Andarna's story is that she's, like, this orphan dragon. Her parents died before she nested. But then I think someone wrote in asking if you think Andarna might be royalty, dragon royalty.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. Is there king dragon?
I don't know. Also, yeah, I have no idea. But honestly, like, I have no desire to read a book about someone who's average. So, like, yeah, I want to read a book about, you know what I mean? Like, I want to read a book about the girl who got the two, and it has, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to read about, like, I don't need to read about Renonian, whatever her name is. Like, I don't need a whole full book on her.
No. Right. But I think what this writer is saying is, like, she's obviously exceptional. Is it all laying it a little thick when there were so many greatness? Like, why not three dragons then? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe soon.
I thought it was just because they, like, made us think about Andarna and had to give it to us give it to us after she didn't pick her.
I think ultimately it's because, like, Aunt Darna is going to have this, like, crazy power that she's able to give.
1,000%. Also, because at the end of the book, he said, he's like, Aunt Darna's fucking huge now. That's why.
Yeah,
said,
and it's been 3 days.
Yeah.
So what the hell is that? It's giving Renesmee.
Yeah, well, also, because I also think maybe, like, every time she stopped time and, like, then she, like, had to go to sleep for, like, ages.
Days.
It was, like, a growth spurt.
Yeah, that's like Charlie when he sleeps a lot. Like, when he's bigger.
So, like, I think it's, like, a growth spurt. So she, like, stopped time again and then, like, woke up huge.
I feel like Charlie's, like, a golden nugget also.
He's Aunt Darna.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that, well, they did say that, like, she was going to grow out of it. So it happened.
Yeah, I mean, she was a newborn. Like, no one – she was never supposed to stay this small. It just kind of happened, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah. But they said she was going to grow out of her power.
I thought it was supposed to, like, tell us that Violet was, like, knocked out for longer than we thought.
Me too.
But when it was just 3 days, I was like, that's
– Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe it was, like, Aunt Darna gave more power to Violet in those 3 days to get her better.
Oh.
Mm.
I don't fucking know.
Good guess.
But then wouldn't she be asleep?
Maybe
this whole book is just, like, guessing what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, like, it could be anything because it's made up.
Yeah. You know, there's no rhyme or reason.
Totally.
Yep.
Okay, next question. The internet has convinced me that Dane is the worst, but was he really? What did you guys think about his inclination to protect Violet physically from her mother and from the Rider Squadron? When did you start hating him, and was it because of his own merit or in comparison to Zayden?
Both. Trash.
But I actually did not hate him. He stood for what he believed in, which was the rules. And, like, I'm sorry that was a little robotic, but I kind of respect someone who's so compliant.
Really? But, like, so much so that, like, it would kill Violet. Like, he would let Violet die just so he could...
He didn't, like, bother me until he didn't believe Violet. He believed that tramp, Amber. And it's like, well, this... She was breaking the rules. Like, Violet didn't break any rules in accusing Amber, and yet he, like, literally had two people between him, and he chose Amber, whereas, like, Zayden chose Violet. So it's done.
No problem.
We've made our choices.
Agreed. I also thought he was so unbelievably condescending about her strength or lack thereof. It was appalling. I was like, dude, like, you have to let up at some point. Like, it is so obnoxious how sick you're laying this on.
Everything was like he needed to help her because he couldn't experience watching anything happen to her. And it's like, what about worry about her, not like how you're gonna feel if something happens.
You couldn't handle if something happened to her, but if the time came, like, you would choose the rule book over something happening to her. Like, you'd be fine with that.
But I think that's why he was so adamant, because he knew himself that he would do that. And he did really care about her, but, like, she was second in order.
He kept, like, underestimating her. And honestly, like, I feel like if it was a different person, like, underestimating her like that would lead her to fail, as opposed to, like, having someone who believes in you. You're like, oh, I can do this, like, whatever. Whereas it's like, oh, not even my best friend fucking believes in me, like, there's no way I'm going to make it over the parapet.
Once she bonded, it was ridiculous how he was still being condescending and overproductive. Like, at that point, give it up. But in the beginning, I was kind of like, run to the writers.
No, for sure.
Quadrant.
I think everyone was.
In the beginning.
Also, I thought in the beginning, like, honestly, Dane was supposed to be OTP, like, at first.
It was giving Peeta and Gale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the home friend always had a thing. Jackie.
Yeah.
Okay, a few more redheads questions. My question is, did you guys connect the dots as to why her scribe friend couldn't find the volume of fables in the archive? Because her brother has them. Because I didn't know that until a friend told me.
Oh, that makes sense.
I thought they weren't there because they were being, like, written out of history.
Me too.
That's what I thought.
I thought it was...
I still didn't to this moment realize her brother had them.
Does he have them?
Yeah, does he?
Well, I don't know. This girl's friend told her.
Doesn't...
She has them. Remember?
She has that one book.
She has the one book that she didn't bring with her. And then Mira, all the, like, other books. But maybe the other books Brennan has. But
how do we know that?
I don't know.
I don't know because her friend told her. Her friend told her.
Also, speaking of the scribe friend, in the beginning of the book, it says that this book, this whatever, was transcribed by... Jasenia, I think that was her name, the scribe, who is her friend, which I don't know if that means anything. I just thought that was interesting.
Interesting. So it's like Jasenia wrote all the smut? Right.
No, I think that it meant that Violet was dead.
No, but Violet wouldn't have written because she's not a scribe.
No, but I also think that maybe it means that, like, they're not writing out history. Because, like, Jacenya wrote this, and it doesn't make the kingdom look good.
But does the smut have to be in the history books?
Yeah.
But sure. I guess they are writing out history if the scribe wrote it.
But it's the scribe that's her friend. Like, maybe she's going to end up being on her side. And, like, maybe she's going to end up being on her side, and, like, this is how they get the story out, because her scribe friend, Jacenya, wrote it.
Yeah.
See, like, it's a mark of a good book that it's this thought-provoking enough that everybody cares to dissect every second. Me, I'm annoyed. I'm like, why are there so many unanswered questions? Like, I don't think it's, like, intentional even. I think it just wasn't, like, explained properly.
Not to throw another question into the mix, but I'm going to, because Taryn's previous rider allegedly died trying to save Brennan. Mm-hmm. But if Brennan is alive, what happened to Taryn's previous rider?
Also,
fuck yeah.
If
Jackie, yes.
No, like something, another conspiracy.
No, yeah,
if Taryn's previous rider was trying to help Brennan, which could be the case, like something might have happened to Brennan, but he just survived, then wouldn't Taryn know that Brennan was alive?
He might have known.
Another secret.
Or maybe, like, maybe that rider is someone that we, like, know.
But you can't, like, unbond your dragon.
I don't know.
Moral of the story.
Maybe Taryn.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Wait.
Taryn was previously bonded to Brennan or no?
No. Someone whose name starts with an N, who was a healer, who died trying to save Brennan, who was also a healer and couldn't save himself.
Literally. I wonder what happened to Brennan's dragon.
Because, maybe, like, it's with him.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, how do you hide that dragon?
Last question. What are your predictions for the sequel? Iron Flame coming out November.
I literally think Violet is going to become, like, the queen of the Rebellion Kingdom.
I just have, like, a weird feeling she's going to forgive Zayden.
Oh, okay. You're kidding. I was like, I think so, too.
Okay. I'm going to – this is what I said earlier. I'm going to break it down again. She goes back to Basquiat undercover. Yeah. She tells everyone Zayden and his troop are up to no good. Because now Kat's out of the bag, now that Dane's dad sent them there, like, to die, and they know. So it's like they will know. I think maybe they will even go to war with the rebels in that city. Violet will be playing both sides of the fence. She'll try and, like, make Dane think that she loves him to get, like, information from him, and also to feed him bad information. She'll, like, let him read her memories, but she'll have controlled herself to, like, learn how to show false information. And then something with the mother will come undone, whether or not she is good or bad. And I do think Zayden and Violet will get back together.
I think that Dane, I don't know if it's going to be as cut and dry as that. Like, I think it might end up being that, like, Dane and Violet, like, become enemies.
Or lovers somehow. She, like, falls in love with him, just like Bella and Jacob.
She's too smart for that.
But all those, like, times as children climbing the tree.
Yeah, but she had her chance. Remember, they kissed and she was like, no, I'm good.
That's true.
And that was before Zayden even infiltrated.
Yeah.
Guys, what if it's not as good?
I think it will be really good because there are there are so many unanswered questions that, like, all she has to do is, like, keep writing the first book, you know?
Yeah,
which I think she's doing.
Okay, so let's move on to the moral of the story. It's not really, like, a moral of the story type, but let's give it a shot. Dana, we know yours.
Maybe. No, I actually had the quote from the book, "The right way isn't the only way," when she figured out how to, like, get up the
what
do they call it? The gauntlet. Like, kind of cheating.
I like that.
Thank you.
I had "never underestimate yourself."
That's a good one, Snitch.
I had something similar about physical strength is not the only type of strength.
That's nice.
I like that.
Now, I hadn't thought about it too much till we're talking about it, but I feel like something about the truth. Like, now I'm Googling quotes about the truth. Ooh, I like this one. "Truth is like the sun. You can shut it out for a time, but it's not going away."
Okay.
Like, and that's how I feel about the Wyvern and Cryvern. Like,
they're not going anywhere.
They're
going
to bang down your door soon.
100%.
They're everywhere.
Oh, this one. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. That's it.
Facts.
Nailed
That's
it.
That's the one.
That's it.
Welcome
That's
to the revolution. Okay, now it is time for Hollywood treatment. So I think this book could really be a movie/series when it's all said and done.
Agree.
Who would you cast as Violet and Zayden?
Well, can I say what TikTok's saying? Because there's like some
Please
common...
do.
Okay, it's very interesting. So Violet, like everyone says Barbara Palvin.
What? But she's tall.
And she's a model. Like she's not an actress.
No, so that's a terrible call.
I thought that was weird. And then weird. For Zayden, they had Charles Melton.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, or this guy who I was picked as mine, who I didn't even know who he was, but if you look him up, it is him. Matthew Daddario, Alexandra Daddario's brother.
Oh, I love her.
He's on my way.
So hot. And people cast him a lot. But I, yeah.
Yes, he is really hot. But Charles Melton is a great one.
Mm-hmm. Or honestly, like Harry Styles.
Matthew Daddario.
I'm Harry Styles.
Is good. I was thinking Jacob Elordi just because he's really tall, but he's a little too pretty.
Agree.
You know, I need someone like a little
But
angrier.
He's like not tan enough.
For Violet, I did have myself because I didn't cast Barbara. Christine Froseth.
Oh my God, I thought you were just saying you had yourself.
Me too.
And
me
I was
too.
Like, you're nuts.
No, Christine Froseth.
Was like
too tall.
Christine?
Yeah, she's not a shorty. Violet's like 5 foot.
Okay. Semantics, right?
I had Jennifer Lawrence and Liam Hemsworth because this was the Hunger Games.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I had Anya Taylor-Joy or Jenna Ortega.
Oh, Jenna Ortega is cute.
Yeah, I like
She's
that.
Okay. She's like feisty. That's why I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So I really, first of all, I think if this does get made, like it should be with kind of unknowns that
Agree.
Would launch them
1,000%.
To superstardom. Yeah. But in my head, I really saw them, maybe because of the height, Jacob Elordi and Olivia Jade.
L-O-L.
Oh, that's a good one. Good one.
That's it's like when they take those paparazzi pictures of them and he's so much taller than her, like that's Zayden and Violet.
Yeah, I see that. Funny.
Wait, one...
Zayden, I also had Taylor Zakar Perez, who was Red, White, and Blue.
Red, how is the movie?
Stop. Take it back.
I couldn't finish it, you guys. But
he's so
like
annoying.
So tall, dark, and handsome.
I don't think he's handsome, and I just can't separate him from the character.
I know.
That's so funny. Wait, one more question for you guys before we move on from this book. What did you think about the nickname Violence?
I thought it was so, like, punny. I liked it.
I liked it, too.
Okay, good.
I liked it.
I, like, really didn't give it much thought. But, like, he really stuck to it. Like, in the middle of battle, he's calling her Violence. I was like, okay.
I think it's kind of give her,
like,
gusto.
And he hates
her, but I think
it's,
like,
also endearing.
To make her feel good. Like, Violence, like, you can do this.
But I also feel like on the page, the nickname isn't as great as when you have to say it. Like, because Violence and Violet are so similar sounding. But
you're right.
On the page, it's like, Violence. You
yeah,
know?
You're right.
But I actually really liked it. I think it gave some people the ick, but not me.
Not me.
Nothing he could do would give me the ick until his last chapter.
Until he started talking.
Until we met him. I totally agree. Okay, let's do our overall rating of this book. Snitch, let's start with you.
Honestly, I'm going high. Like, I loved this.
Do it.
I'm doing 4.9 just because I feel like I can't do a 5, you know?
Well, I'm doing a 5 because I
rate in
whole or half numbers.
I'll do 5.
And I give 5s. 5s are meant to be given.
I gave 4.9. I'm obsessed.
Dana?
3.6.
Fucking Scrooge. Okay, the overall Redheads rating for Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros is a 4.625.
It feels low.
Feels low.
And that would make it number 1.
What?
No!
That makes it number 1.
Wow.
So now Snitch claims spots 1 and 2. With Fourth Wing and Before We Were Strangers.
What was Before We Were Strangers, the rating, do you know?
4.6.
Oh, my God. But the Fourth Wing should be so much higher than
100%. Like, Before We Were Strangers is off the list.
You guys, I don't think we can complain. It's number 1.
Okay, fine.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
It's not one-y enough.
But I do think it is number 1 for the Redheads. Like, everyone was obsessed with this book. I've never gotten more outreach on a book than this.
Same. I agree.
So it does feel right.
Oh,
wow.
Dana, thank
Snitch,
you.
Mazel tov. That's great. That's a great honor.
Okay, let's continue with the episode with the other books that we read this month. Who wants to go first? I did not read Diddly Squat. Oh, except I started A Court of Thorns and Roses, is
Tell
like
us about
the,
that.
It's like supposed to be like fourth wing, like fantasy series. People are obsessed. I got to 50% before I went into labor, and then I never picked it up again. I wasn't like hating it. I was trying to get into it, but I did not get into it, and I really don't want to go back to it at this point. But I kind of want to get that marked off my shelf, like to get it off my iPad, and so that I get it counted towards my Goodreads goal. So I might go back to it.
Is that a series? I keep seeing it. Like
it's
ACOTAR?
A series. Yeah. ACOTAR. Yeah. And people are obsessed. Like I do want to.
I've seen that everywhere.
I've been trying to see what it's about, but I just like really couldn't get into it. Oh, you know what? I actually read a lot since our last episode, but not since I gave birth. So I'll just continue. Because I read Hello Beautiful by Anne Napolitano.
So good.
It was really good, literary prose, interesting storyline, not like my favorite outcome. I thought a lot of time was wasted between the family members, but I gave it a 4 because it was very well done. Then I read The Trophy Wife by Valerie Keough, which is like thriller, you know, suspense. I really liked it up until it all like unfurled. I thought the buildup was so good. They were really like creating a great story. And then what wound up happening was ridiculously dumb. 3 stars. I read American Guilt debut by J.D. Peterson. It's a true story, like historical fiction about some socialite in the Gilded Age. I didn't like the book. 2 stars. And then the reason why I didn't like the book is because it's based on a true story, but it's a 3-part series book. And they didn't get to the meat of anything that happened. And this true story is so crazy. But none of that all starts in the sequel. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't like the first book enough to continue. So I just read about it on Wikipedia. And then I read The Perfect Marriage by Geneva Rose, which was another psychological thriller, whodunit, and I liked it. I thought I did. I only gave it 3 stars, though. I don't think I loved how it ended. And that's that.
That was nice.
Yeah, sorry. I buried the lead.
Good job.
Bex, what'd you read?
You guys, I read 1 book in 2 months.
Well, you were getting married.
I was getting married. I could not focus. And I read The Quiet Tenant, which is everywhere right now.
Everyone's talking about it, yeah.
Everyone's talking about it.
You guys, not for me. I gave it a 3.5. It was incredibly predictable and frustrating. I didn't know what else possibly could have happened. Everybody was like, I was on the edge of my seat. I'm like, how were you on the edge of your seat? Like, it was just day by day what we would have expected to happen.
I heard it was like Room, which I personally cannot
love.
I cannot enter a room. Like, that's just, I can't.
It was
do
like
it.
Room. It was like Room and like devotion to your captor type psychology.
Oh, I think I would like that.
Yeah.
Dana loves Room. You would. Well, I'm glad you read it because I've been seeing it everywhere. So I'm glad it has some representation on the show.
You wouldn't like it.
No, I can't fuck with Room. Like, that, seeing it once was enough.
Loved Room.
Dana, what'd you read?
I only read 2 books, but one was 750 pages. It took me so long. The Covenant of Water by Abraham Breguisi. I gave it a 3.4. He wrote Cutting for Stone, which was my all-time, one of my favorite books. So good. This was not even close into the realm of brilliance that Cutting for Stone was, but I liked it enough. It was just so, so long. And then I read The House on the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune.
Oh, I've seen that everywhere.
Okay, so it's like fantasy, magical creature shit. So maybe that was why I was so jaded against this book, because it was like too much for me. But I did really like it. I gave it a 3.7.
Great. Snitch?
The night when I read The Nightingale, I don't know if I spoke about it on here, so I read The Nightingale, loved it. I read You with a View by Jessica Joyce, which was like good and cute, but it was like kind of about an influencer TikToker, and like I hate those kinds of books. So I don't
It
really
has
know.
To be good.
Yeah.
Otherwise
it was, like,
it's cringe.
Fine, but it was just like I just like hate it was actually a really sweet story, but like I just can't. I read Icebreaker, which is like a dumb, smutty ass book, but I loved it. In The Likely Event by Rebecca Yarros. Rebecca Yarros is like coming up there with like one of my favorite authors.
Was it as good as Fourth Wing?
It wasn't as good as Fourth Wing. It was just like she weirdly, because she wrote like, she's written a bunch of books that I've read that are so good. And like, she's very much like, ooh, sorry. She's very much like a romance writer. So like this like fantasy was like her first time going into this world. So it was really good. I finished the American Royal series, Rivals. I just like, I've grown up, you know, since the series.
I love that for you.
Thank you. Too. And then I finished the Things We Never Got Over series. The last book came out, Things We Hide from the Light, which was really good. A little too long, but good. Yeah.
Things We Hide from the Light.
It's a lot, Snitch.
Damn.
Thank you.
So, like, Things We Hide.
Okay. Correct.
Okay. Well, that is our episode. So fun reading Fourth Wing with you guys. Before we go, Bex, what are we reading next month?
So we are reading The Dead Romantics by Ashley Poston. So, you guys, I needed a easy, not easy, but just a more lighthearted selection following my book hangover from Fourth Wing. So this is a paranormal romance novel. There's spooky vibes, which is perfect as we head into spooky season. I think it's a little spicy, seemingly lighthearted, and I hope everybody enjoys.
I can't wait. Looks great. I'm down for lighthearted and spooky and happy spooky season, everyone.
Happy spooky season. This time last year, I selected Hester, which was like my spooky season selection. So I'm honored that I have this role amongst the Redhead crew.
Yeah, you got to take your month seriously.
For sure.
Or else what are we doing here?
Literally.
Okay, well, love you guys. We actually are going to see you next week because we have a special episode dropping for Camper and the Counselor. So you don't have to wait too long till you see your girls. Love ya.
Bye. Love ya.